Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I realise that some of us are still out getting coffee, but we need to get going, and people are slowly wandering back in. So we're coming to our next session, which is the IANA update, and we have Naila and Elise.
Yes,
it is Naila. Is it
Naila? It's
Naila. Naila. I apologise. And Elise, so over to you guys.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Naila Saras. I've worked in the route management area for about 5 years now. I've come to the meetings off and on. I recognize some of your faces. And so if I act overly excited when I meet somebody that I've been exchanging email with for the last 5 years, don't take it too personally. It's because I'm really happy to meet you. I'm here with Elise Gehrig, VP of IANA, and we're happy to give this update. Normally, my colleague Kim Davies is here giving the update. He said that I should be able to share with you that he apologizes that he can't be here, and he's in Bali, Indonesia, for his brother's wedding. So good reason. For the IANA update, we wanted to give you a little bit of an update about our recent activities since June, and well, there's nothing better to start with today other than DNSSEC. Purely from an operational point of view, where we're at with DNSSEC, as you all know, the route was signed on July 15th. Since then, we received a very high number of requests to the IANA to add DS records in the route zone for signed TLDs. The number of requests that came in, and I'll show this on the next chart, very quickly overcame the number of signed TLDs that we had in the ITAR, listed in the ITAR. In October, so this allowed us to, in October, quickly to announce the retirement of the ITAR system, and then it was finally taken offline on 30th November, I believe, or no, 18th November. The last entry was removed from the ITAR system. So this chart here, and I didn't look at my earlier because I had black slides with white font. Pretty bad, I think. It's okay?
I can see.
All right. So this chart here shows you going back to January 2009, the introduction of ITAR. We had a steady growth of the use of ITAR, but as soon as June 2010 hit, you can see how quickly the route zone surpassed the ITAR. I'm having an issue here where you cannot see a link that we provided on the slides. These slides will be published, so please follow that link. We do have, as of the making of these slides, we said there were about 60 TLDs in the route zone right now. There you go. Okay. Oh, so it's and right now we stand at 64 signed TLDs. So that's where we're at, and this link will be provided on the slide. We also have here a map showing the signed TLDs, highlighted in green, and we think it's pretty interesting looking at who at this map. In terms of processes, the way we've been handling DS records changes is very similar to how we handle NS changes in the root zone. We ask CCTLD managers to fill in the IANA text template, mail it in. IANA does its technical checks, and there are instances where the technical check that we do is checking to see if the DNS key record exists in the TLD zone. If it doesn't, we come back to you and ask for clarification why it doesn't. Typically, this is flagged as an error, but if there's a good reason why it's not, we are able to proceed. What we've learned so far in processing up to now, we said 64 additions to the route zone is that sometimes the technical checks, the agreed technical checks that we currently do, may miss some DNSSEC related issues. And so, for example, what's happened with a couple of changes that we worked on is that some name servers, queries to some name servers, did not return the RRSIG records for the DNS key. This doesn't show up in the IANA technical checks that we currently do, but it could be flagged further down the road when we get to implementation. And so what we may need to do for this issue is come back to the community and talk about the current technical checks that we do and see if there's any enhancements that need to be implemented for further checks that we need to do on the operational level when we receive the request. So that's pretty much, this is a much better picture when you can show the whole picture. We think...
Full slide mode, because we're showing you.
I know, this is what she kept me in.
None of us are Mac enough, so if you're Mac, go for it.
I think what we should do is hide the bar, but I'm not going to mess with it now. This is a photo of Kim Davies, honestly. This is 2 months into signing the route. Things went a lot better than expected. Everything was smooth, no major hiccups. So this is happy Kim. in all honesty, things really did go a lot better than I think any of us thought at the time, and we haven't had any major problems that we know of, at least. So that's what we had on DNSSEC. Another area of operations and work that we've spent time on this year is the workflow automation. It's been a while since we've given an update about workflow automation. Just to give a little bit of a background, this is the a new system that IANA is creating to allow TLD managers to submit changes to the IANA through a web interface as opposed to the current manual system. I've been personally working on that in the last year or so. The system, the way it's spec'd, is it does not change the current process by which we implement changes in the root zone. All it does is it allows you an interface online to submit those changes. It also allows you to track the status of the change request instead of. We get frequently emails saying, hey, what's going on with my request? So we're hoping that this is a way for you to proactively go in and check on the status of the request. And
if you can, let's see.
Okay. And then it also will allow us from the processing end to communicate the changes to VeriSign via EPP. As opposed to what we currently do, which is to send it over email. So that's a quick overview of what the automation will do. Where we're at now is the last update. I think we talked about this is during the ICANN Sydney meeting. We started what we call a parallel deployment, where we wanted to run everything through the production system as well as through a test system and compare the results. Very soon after we started doing this, we ran into a pretty major issue and we had to stop. We had to stop to fix the issue. At the same time, DNSSEC became a higher priority, and so a lot of resources went to DNSSEC. We did continue working on the workflow automation system. We certainly fixed the issue. We addressed a couple other things, enhancements that we wanted to have in the system. And at the same time, because of where DNSSEC was at, it was thought that it would be a good time to to add capability to handle DNSSEC records. So the good news out of this is that we now support DNSSEC when the automation is finally released. So where we're at now with it is, as I said, what I've been doing is testing the system. So I have a set of controlled test cases that I'm running through the system because I'm checking for specific things. That's one set of test cases. In addition, I'm taking all the changes that are coming in from TLD managers for changes to the root zone, and we're feeding them through the system, only in a complete test environment where the results aren't released. We've done this with a very large number of requests that we have a much higher confidence level in that the system works as designed now. So what we want to do next is enter into a formal period of what we're calling the parallel operations. So we're going to take everything that's coming again from the production system, feed it through the testing system, and then we want to compare results and have 100% match between production and testing. Our goal to declare success is to be able to run this for 60 consecutive days of 100% matching zones. We expect to go into this period pretty quickly. Once we've done all that testing and we've achieved our 60 days of 100% matching, we'll be able to declare that the system works as designed, and we'll go ahead and release it. Of course, once we release it, and hopefully, you know, not too far after release, we'll work with the CCTLD managers to distribute credentials to access the system and use it. We'll provide some training and education on how it works, and we'll also get feedback from you for enhancements for future versions, because we do expect that there might be feedback in that way. And so that's where we're at, workflow automation system. If there are any questions, I'll take them at the end. And I'm also, I do have a running operational version of it here, so if anybody wants to look, I'm happy to give a little demo. Next, we wanted to talk about IDN CCTLDs. Here's a map of all the delegated IDN CCTLDs currently in the root zone. We have 15 TLDs that have entered the root zone, and they represent 12 different countries. In terms of processing requests, we've continued to get requests throughout the year, pretty much since April of this year. The rate of change of applications for the IDNs that we're seeing has slowed down a bit. We don't want to overconclude. We're not sure what that suggesting, whether its initial demand has been met or not, but that's where we're at right now. Throughout the year, in processing all the requests that we've completed, we have run into some process issues, and the board has asked the Board IANA committee to look into these issues and make recommendations. What we've learned from processing the IDN CCTLD applications is that, so as you're all aware, we have two different processes. The first process is the string approval process, and then it comes to IANA for the delegation process. The requirements for each of the processes have been getting a little confused. Specifically, we have government support and local internet community support required for both. However, the criteria to fulfill these two are different. And so that's where most of the confusion has been. What we've done to help with this is to improve our upfront communication with the applicants to explain that the documentation to provide for the string delegation is a little different than the IANA delegation, and so just to help users with what to expect down the road when they get to the IANA delegation process. We've also, in general, learned, and I think this was said yesterday in the delegation meeting that you had in the afternoon. In general, we do realize that the documentation about the redelegation process needs to be enhanced and better explained. So on the topic of documentation, we have undertaken a project for a while now to improve the root zone processes and documenting them and publishing them. The initial draft of this improved documentation was shared with the CCNSO redelegation working group in late 2009 for their informational purposes. The drafts of this improved documentation have gone through several revisions, and we expect that IANA will share a final draft of the guide to delegating, redelegating country code top-level domains with the CCNSO for their information before publishing. And so that's where we're at with documentation. In terms of what all this activity this year has done on workload of IANA, we wanted to do a little bit of comparison. So we're almost at the end of 2010 now. We took the data for 2010 and charted it against 2009. So we prepared this around the end of November. So here's our data for 2009, and the green bars represent number of incoming requests to the IANA by month. So by the end of November 2009, we stood at 265 requests. Again, these are incoming requests that came to the route management domains area. This compared to what happened in 2010, same data from January to from January through November. The blue are the 2010 data, and the green are still the 2009 data, and we see a significant increase. We're saying nearly 40% increase here. And the bulk of the increase, if you'll see, it's May through November. That's when the most of the that's when the DS records were sent to IANA for addition to the root zone and the ID and CCTLDs. And that's pretty much all the operational stuff we wanted to report on. I'm told I need to say these. So thanks to our host, gracias. Thanks, shukran, and spasiba. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you all. Do we have any questions? Wow. Okay. So no, we don't. Thank you. Yeah, of course you may, Alex. Yes.
I just want to thank Nayala for giving the presentation. One of the reasons we did thank you in the different languages that we chose is that the team that processes these applications for root zone changes are speaking these languages natively. So Nayala's from Palestine, Nadia's from Belarus, and obviously Kim's Australian. So I just wanted to say that our thanks. We recognize the host as well as the team that processes all the reports.
So that, thank you, that's wonderful. And if we could do the thanks in an Australian accent, that would be...
Okay, we'll let Chris do that.
I just had one thing, Elise. I just wanted to you know this, but some of you may not. We participated in the Cyberstorm exercise, which is a US government cybersecurity war games thing. And we participated this year and 2 years ago when it was last done. This year we ran a game with IANA, and it was really, really interesting and worth doing. I'll probably just briefly talk to you guys about it tomorrow at lunchtime. But I wanted to suggest that perhaps we should start talking about the possibility that there's no reason why we can't do this sort of thing ourselves. We could have a, you know, like a CC IANA war games to test things and talk things through and see what happens when stuff happens.
It's a fascinating idea. Do you think it's safe?
well,
what kind of war games are we talking
in
about?
In as much as, yeah. I mean, we obviously, you know,
I'm joking,
yes,
of
I know,
course.
I know. Yeah. We played, you know, we played a fairly straightforward scenario from our point of view, which was that, I'll tell you now, it's easier, which was that we put an additional name server into the database entry. And when we started the game, basically we told IANA, first of all, we told our staff, and then eventually we told IANA that that name server was rogue and had been added because my email address had been compromised, and that it had to be taken out, and it had to be taken out as soon as possible. But because my email address was compromised, they couldn't use the normal testing mechanism to email me to check that it was okay to take the zone file out that I put in the first place with a compromised email address. And so we went through this process about, you know, what's required and how would it work. And it was very interesting and made perfect sense. But it, as far as I can tell, unless I've got it wrong, it's not actually written down anywhere, is it?
I don't think those war games are public per se, or you're saying that we don't write down those processes.
I meant, yeah, the thing that, because we ended up with a letter and signed by an authoritative person, so, which is very sensible, makes perfect sense, but we don't, it's not there anywhere, right?
It's just, right.
Internally, we have that. Yes. So it threw that up as a really very sensible solution. It would be great to be able to come up with some scenarios and maybe once every couple of years or so just run a, because I know you guys have got nothing much to do, we could just run a sort of CC IANA kind of play group and see what we can do.
I actually think it would be fun also, and so obviously we can't do it monthly or anything like that, but with a little bit of planning, because there was quite a lot of planning behind this cyber attack, and some groups knew it was going to happen, other groups did not know it was going to happen, and so the obvious intent was to surprise some groups and see what the behavior was and if it followed the process or it didn't follow the process, and whether the issue was resolved or whether there were problems that had to be addressed later. But no, I think we'd welcome that, Chris. Thank you.
Hi.
Yes, Hanchuan.
Hi, Hanchuan from Singapore. Thanks for the update. And what I'd like to comment on is the IDN CCTLD fast track, the delegation process. It's good that you're reviewing the process and everything, but I guess why is there is a confusion in the first place was because there was no document or any publication that the applicant can refer to for the delegation process. Because when we tried to look for it on our INA website and ICANN, we couldn't find anything on it. So probably that's why that's the confusion. And I wonder if going forward, INA would, you know, in the very, very near future, we would like to publish this process very clearly on their website or somewhere. And for the process refinement, I wonder if that could also be shared with the community so that because there are certain concerns that the different administration will face. Different countries, different administration will have different kind of concerns that, you know, INA may not have addressed. So I wonder if this could be shared with the community much earlier and perhaps for some inputs. I guess one of the difficulties that I want to highlight here is that because the as you said, the government support and the community support for ICANN and INA is different, it's very difficult for the applicant to go back to the government or even back to the community and say, hey, look, I need a second support. And they'll be questioning, why are you asking for it again when we've already done it once? See, and all this takes time to prepare, takes time to draft, negotiate, or whatever. So, you know, it is not fair to us to have to do the same process twice. Right. Thanks.
Thanks for your questions. I think I've got three questions. One is, why is the IDN and the delegation process different? The other is lack of documentation. And then the third, I think, had to do with the discrepancy between the government and local community requirements, which is sort of the same as the first one, which is the IDN and delegation processes are different. So let me talk about why the IDN string evaluation is different than the delegation process. So the string evaluation is about evaluating the string itself. And so with that, it's more about the linguistic and support for that selection of that string. And so the government and local community support for that is all focused on the string itself, the actual characters in that language and what they represent. When you get to the delegation process, the government and local support is about the sponsoring organization and the operator and the technical capabilities of that operator to maintain the DNS stability and security. So there are different things that are being evaluated. And so the type of support that's being requested, one is linguistic, and the other is DNS operational support. And it's specifically support for the operator of the domain. So that's why there's two different definitions of the support or the criteria, even though they've got the same name, government, local community support. They're supporting different things, the linguistic string or the technical capabilities of the operator and the support for that operator. So that's the first part of the question. And the second part, which is one that we feel very strongly about, and I notice in your review of the ICANN and the IANA, that you all do also, and that is documentation. And we have been working on this, and we feel very close to being able to publish something, and we feel badly that you all feel surprised, and we are hoping very soon to have a document out there for the delegation and redelegation that talks about the process as it is done today. So I heard you say you'd like to give input to that documentation. We certainly would welcome the input of whether it's clear and understandable, but what the documentation that we will be publishing is the current processes. There could be a follow-on activity where you may make recommendations or provide advice on how you might like to see the process and the procedures change, but what we'll be sharing with you is for informational purposes, and Naila had that in her slide deck, so that you know that we are trying to publish and make sure that we have accurate documentation on what the requirements are and the criteria and what we'll be looking at and what the process will be as it flows through the IANA. And that is the process we do today. A second step could be, you know, suggestions from you as to how the process could be improved or optimized. But for the documentation we plan to publish, it's at the what we do today, which is better. The documentation will be better than the one document that does exist today on the website, which we've been told is inadequate. And if I could make a plea to this group, I think you could help us accelerate getting this documentation published if you send email messages telling me that the documentation is inadequate. And there are some debates that the documentation may be sufficient. Those of us who work with the requests and your requests feel very strongly that you don't find it sufficient. And it would help us if we could actually point to examples of countries and organizations and CCTLD operators who feel it's also insufficient. So thank you. And I hope that answered your question.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Gosh, an opportunity to send emails.
You may send them to me directly. And epg at icann.org.
Thank you. And we will. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to wrap this up now because we need to move on to the next one. But thanks very, very much. And can I just say that you're not Kim, but that's not a bad thing. Thank you.
It's a good thing.
Jean-Jacques, would you care to join us, please? The next, session is CCNSO review, ICANN Board Working Group recommendations. Jean-Jacques, of course, is the chair of the ICANN Board committee that dealt with the CCNSO review. Welcome, Jean-Jacques.
Thanks.
And Ram is here as well. And Bart is here. So,
no,
oh, you're not here. Okay.
Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be back in this community, and it's been an honor to work with you, thanks to the review working group constituted of Ram Mohan, who's here, Alejandro Pisanti, who'll be with us somewhat later because he's in another group just now, Demi Gechko, who is not with us in Cartagena today, and also Vittorio Bertola, who has not made it here either. Before we put anything on the on the screen, I'd like to make a few general remarks about the work we've done on the review working group. And this will be essentially two things. And then I'll ask Ram to continue on one specific point. So my three points are this. First of all, the findings of the working group, the essential message I want to bring to you is that the CCNSO has proven its usefulness by the value added that it has brought to the community and to this segment of ICANN's work, and indeed more largely the internet. And this brings the question, how much can you influence the PDP, the development process for policy, but also the cost effectiveness? That means what is the effectiveness of your work here compared with the effort you put into it? I did listen carefully to the debate you had with Peter, the chair of the board, about half an hour ago on this question. My second point I would like to make is that you all noticed that when we were defining the remit of the independent reviewer's work, there were some questions within the community about the financial question. And there was a concern that the question should or should not be included. And I just wanted to say that we were conscious of that, and the decision made was very much in keeping with the general advice of the CCNSO and of staff and of the community. And in that respect, I just want to say that the financial contribution is something which has to be set up between, which exists between the ICANN and the CCs individually. So it actually falls outside the scope of the CCNSO review. In reality, this concern, as I just mentioned, does exist. So rather than just pass it under silence, I wanted to make the point here that we are conscious that it could be an issue. And I note with satisfaction that you have created a finance working group, the first meeting of which is to occur, has occurred already here in Cartagena, with two main remits. One, to analyze ICANN's costs associated with CCTLDs, and the second point is to discuss with ICANN a methodology for individual CCTLDs to calculate fair and equitable voluntary financial contribution to ICANN, and to propose this to for future work. And my third point was about risk management. I think this is a very important aspect of your work, because the challenge is the sustainability of your community and its work. And I would encourage you to look more closely at the parameters of risk, because, for instance, it's just one example: the high dependence on key individuals. So, things like succession planning, what you do about that, how advanced are you in that? I think is crucial for the sustainability of the CCNSO community. Those were just some general remarks I thought I'd signal. And now I'd like to ask Ram to give a few more remarks, perhaps on precisely the sustainability of the CCNSO community's work.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques, and thanks for having us here. It's actually been quite a good process to go through this review and certainly learn quite a lot more about the organization. Have interacted with many of you directly, individually, as well as a group. But And some of my comments go kind of beyond the borders of the review itself, if you will. And these are comments that you could consider as potentially advice for the future, perhaps. As Jean-Jacques was saying, there are two things that come to mind. One is to ensure that there is some level of focus on the sustainability of the organization itself. When you look at things like leadership or succession and things like that, that's one thing. The other is to spend a little bit of time perhaps thinking about the sustainability of the platform function that the CCNSO intends to be and wants to be. There is clearly, from the review and the notes that you see, the report that you see, there is clear establishment of the value of the organization, and it might be worthwhile spending some time thinking about methods to ensure sustainability of the platform function itself. So that's kind of at a broad level my comments on the review itself. Back to you, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you. As we know, this review process has gone on for some time, and we've had several iterations. I'm just reminding ourselves of the status and next steps, which you see on the screen now. The Board Working Group draft report was posted for public comments, and this is lasting from 15th of November to the 15th of January. The final report will, of course, take account of the comments received, and then it will be sent to the Structural Improvements Committee and the Board after that for adoption. And then we go into implementation, and that is done by staff and CCNSO together. And that then has to be the plan, or the implementation plan has to be adopted by the SIC and the Board. And finally, the implementation. So some key aspects we want to underline here is that, of course, the public comment in which we are engaged just now is vital to the quality of the final report. And, of course, although we put it up here, it should be obvious, but we thought it may be useful to say that the statements of support are just as welcome as suggested modifications. And we want to know whether the report statements match the CCNSO expectations or changes which are in the pipeline. And here there are just a few examples which we mentioned, but you may wish to bring up completely different things. That's about what we wanted to do in a very brief presentation. But, Chair, we leave it up to you to orientate our discussion.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Just a question. We'll take questions and comments from the floor, if indeed there are any. Just a question for me, Jean-Jacques. Your term on the board is coming to an end in a couple of days. Do you stay on this working group, given that there are non-board members on it anyway?
I've not been instructed either way, so I'm available, especially for telephone consultations. But travel also if they are paid.
Is that just a general comment or only in the specific?
No. I'm answering your question about CCNSO review. I'd like to get a sense from staff of when this is due to fold up. I suppose that as soon as we get all the comments after the close of the comment period, which is 15th of January, then we go into the final report, and that has to be sent to the SIC and then to the board, etc. So it's a question I'm looking at all of who's nodding there, I suppose it's a question of a few months, right? So I just want to signal my availability for that kind of work to be continued if okay. I'm required to do so.
Okay.
But yes, I am leaving the board on Friday this week.
Yes. It would just be, I think... shame to lose the corporate knowledge, for want of a better term, of this process and where and how we've got to where we've got to. So that would be great. Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments? I know that some of us are intending to obviously to respond to the public comment process, but I'm not sure. I can't remember whether the council just did we talk about the possibility of a council response? We did, didn't we? Or am I dreaming? There's a hand in the back. Yeah, there is a hand at the back. That'll be Dottie, I think. Bart, can you remember?
Yes, I do.
Hang on a sec, Dottie.
So what I recall from we discussed it, the draft report, just after it was finished, so that was the last call.
Right.
And say one of the, as far as I recall, that the council thought it was a very well balanced report, taking say the interim view and the view of the independent reviewers and the comments in into consideration, and the recommendations were very logical, following and workable. So in fact, No follow up. Okay. Because
the most important thing on Jean-Jacques' slide is that comments agreeing are just as welcome and just as important. So I think for those of us on the council should certainly be considering putting in comments, and I'd encourage others to do so too. Dottie, did you have something?
I just wanted to ask if the reporters could give a little bit more detail about what they viewed as the sustainable platform. I mean, what exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you the same thing. I wasn't quite clear what you were talking about when you were referring to the platform.
Thank you for the question. So there are two things or two factors that seem to be at work here. One is the CCTLDs themselves, and then the other is the CCNSO. And one of the things that the report clearly points out is that attempting to create some sort of common policy across all the CCTLDs is not necessarily something that works in just as normal manner. However, the CCNSO as an organization and as a body clearly plays a role and has a function. And what I was talking to was, or what I was suggesting was that further work be done in exploring that piece of it, because the CCNSO as an important actor inside of this overall DNS environment has a role that is different and is kind of at a meta level from what individual CCTLDs do, or even collections of CCTLDs coming together do. And so that's what I mean by sustaining that platform function. You have a platform for influencing and for, in fact, helping guide and direct where the future of the DNS itself might go. And that piece of it is what felt to me as something worth further study and further thought, because there is a potential to do something there, but what it is not something for me to prescribe, but it's something for the organization to think about.
Okay, Martin would like to say something, Gabby. Okay, so speaking personally, it seems to me that CCNSO does several things. It does the things it's supposed to do in the bylaws, which is to do the policy where it's necessary, and at the moment that's IDNs, and we've also looking at Redel, but not in a policy sense at this stage. And then the best practice and so on. It also is about representing the CCTLD community in non-CCTLD management areas where it's important, and I would put in that basket things like geographic names and UGTLDs and so on and so forth. And it's also about, because we are an ICANN supporting organization, it's actually about supporting ICANN. and what that means is supporting the model, and it doesn't mean that we agree on stuff, but it just means we're here because we support the model is a general expression of you know. And so those are the sorts of things that we that I would put on our platform. And is that really what you're talking about?
Yes, it's all of that. That is what I'm talking about. But I'm also noticing that as time is going on, some of the things that you're dealing with are no longer applicable only to ACC, just in a CC area. Some of the things that you deal with are actually, you see trends, you see issues that may be precursors to issues that are going to hit the entire global DNS platform. And that's something that, that you know, an individual CCTLD may be able to say something, but CCNSO may have a real significant impact on the entire organization to help guide it and lead it in a different direction.
Understood. Martin.
Thank you. Martin Boyle from .UK. Bearing in mind you said that supportive comments were also welcome, I thought I'd put down some supportive comments. Certainly, I was very alarmed by some of the comments that were included in the initial report. The report...
you mean the report of the review?
The actual review
review team, yes.
And the report back on that, I think, has taken... very firmly, very clearly into account the comments that have been made. So, let's have that one clearly on the record that I think we have generally been listened to. One of the clear things that came out, certainly when I read it, was that the review itself had lost sight of the nature of CCTLDs. And so it was actually very good to read in your report that very clear statement. Similarly, I think it was also quite good that you picked up on the binding policy and the very limited nature of binding policy for CCTLDs. Your last point, the concept of breaking down silos... I would agree that we do need to break down silos between the different organisations, that we have in the CNSO had some strategy discussions that have looked wider, but it might be one of those things that's useful if only just for our own good education of doing some of that work with other groups. But overall, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much, Martin. I'd like to react to those three points by saying that it was a question of fundamental methodology. It was our purpose to let perhaps a freer rein, as it were, to the independent reviewer in defining its remit, to leave it quite open. And what one usually does, I've been on several review working groups, and this one, we really wanted to give the independent reviewer the possibility to take up questions which we thought were maybe slightly off color or not exactly in the preoccupations of the community. Never mind. And we thought that it was precisely our job as a working group to pick them out and say when we agreed or disagreed with those. And that's what led to the result which you are kind enough to point at by saying that that was a good result. It's the combination of the two. We could have picked a style of initial independent review which would have been perhaps very different, more knowledgeable perhaps of the milieu, of the ecosystem, but I think that's one of the interesting points of the final result, is that it's more contrasted, and the initial independent review, I think, was closer to what perhaps the general public or people who are less knowledgeable, who are less insiders of the CCNSO community, would think of spontaneously. And we tried to bridge the gap so that the value added by the working group itself perhaps comes out slightly more.
Thank you. I just wanted to pick up on Martin's point about silos and widening the things. Ram, you might want to take this back to the for the G world. We had our usual council GNC council lunch yesterday, and the topic that the GNSO specifically wanted to talk about was cross constituency. Well, I hate that word, constituency. Cross ACSO working groups, which we've kind of made a sort of speciality of, really. We had a very good conversation with them about that. But what became clear as we went into the conversation is how much harder it is for them, because they're split, and they are not on the same platform, to use your expression. And so the trust level isn't good enough yet to be able to sit into that cross party working group without everybody being there, and that makes it really, really hard. So I think one of the things that we can, and we tried to say to them yesterday, you know, we don't all agree with each other. We're lucky that we basically all come from the same place in the sense of experience, but we don't agree with each other. But I think there are challenges in the ICANN model for that. And I know it's got nothing to do with this, but it just struck me because Martin had said it. And I think we can be useful from that point of view by sort of leading that kind of thing, making that sort of thing happen.
Yes, Chris, that's precisely the thrust of my own directions. You have such a tremendous opportunity to show how to do some of these things. It's on the G side, it is more time is spent on just getting everybody to agree that this is the right chapter to work on, much less what should be in it, right? But you have tremendous ability, and in a couple of areas, if you look at IDNs as an example, you're, you know, well out of the gate, and there's a great deal of, by the time others are going to start even thinking about it, there's operational experience that you would have, and that's the kind of experience that ICANN, the organization, is going to need. So, yes, thank you.
Do we have any other comments or questions? You go ahead, yeah.
Well, if there are no more comments or questions, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say personally, as I'm a member of the board, leaving the board in a few days, to say what a pleasure, but also what a very useful experience it was for me to be asked to chair this group. And I'd like to thank especially all the members of the CCNSO who contributed to this work by reacting to with interfacing with the review, the independent review team. Thank the council and the council members as well for this. Thank the members of this working group, Alejandro, Demi, Ram, Vittorio, and also the staff members. First, Marco Lorenzoni, who has left ICANN, Olaf Nordling, who has replaced him very ably, Alice Jansen, who has been permanently on that job, and Bart Boswinkel. I can't underline sufficiently the contribution he has brought because he has the experience both as staff and as CCNSO, so that has been invaluable. And to all, very many thanks.
Jean-Jacques, thank you. You and the team of guys on the board working group made this a really simple and worthwhile process, and I thank you for that. And on a personal level, as you're leaving the board, can I personally say it's been a real pleasure to have your elegant and diplomatic presence around ICANN, and it's a sad day that we're losing you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Sorry, did somebody say something? No. Okay, we are going to do very briefly now a look at the council working group and roles and responsibilities, and I'll just briefly deal with that. And then we're going on to the regional organisation update. And if I could ask the regional guys to get ready, get their presentations organised. That's the two Erics and Peter and Jan. Peter I can see, and I guess not yet the others. I'm sorry, I can see hands. Lovely. Thank you, others with hands. I need to go at 12:22 and accountability and accountability and transparency review team session. So I will let Leslie, if you wouldn't mind, just chairing the update thing. And then Byron's doing a CIRA update, and then Byron is Canada is buying us lunch, and then we're back. Now, the current timetable that you may have suggests that the GAC session starts at 2:15. The GAC have asked if we could start it at 2, which means that it will effectively start at 2:15, but at least if we could please try and be there by 2. That would be great, because they need to finish it at 3:30. So if we could do that, that would be fantastic. Just to give you a brief update, most of you will know that the council has been, because of the changes that are coming up in the not-too-distant future with me going to the board and so on, the council's been working on some roles and responsibilities, looking at defining in a little more detail the role of the chair and the roles of vice chairs and the roles of councillors, and how the council itself can work more effectively and efficiently, and also how we can offlay some of the responsibility onto non-councillors, participating members of the CCNSO who are prepared to do some work. We have a flowchart, a spreadsheet which has listed out most of the responsibilities. We're still working on defining those in a bit more detail, then sort of assigning responsibility for them, figuring out, for example, whether we currently have, for example, two vice chairs. Do we need to have three or four? Should there be one vice chair a region? All of that sort of thing. We anticipate that discussion on the council will be finished relatively soon, though, given the fact that we're all got varying different lengths of Christmas break. Case of Australia, basically, that's the whole of January. We'll endeavour to get it out to everybody as quickly as possible. But just to give you a couple of examples, we've worked on sort of splitting up things into formal and informal roles. So there's a formal role of liaising with the chairs of the other ACs and SOs. But there's also an informal role. The formal role is where you're organising meetings and all that sort of stuff. The informal role is the monthly chat to find out what the latest gossip is and what if anything we can do about it. That sort of thing is the level of detail we're getting into. So it's going to be quite useful from the point of view of defining roles and responsibilities. We're also putting together, or that part of the process of defining the roles and responsibilities has led to a clear requirement for a work plan. That's also something that came up in the review. So we'll be working out a process for a work plan. And then, of course, because one defines roles and responsibilities and has different people doing different things, there then has to be a mechanism for making sure that that's working properly. So we'll have to do that too. So that's where we are with it, and we'll endeavour to get the information out to everybody as soon as possible. Does anyone want to ask me a question? And have I missed anything? If any of the other councillors think I might have missed something in that explanation? No? No questions? Excellent. All right. Can I get the regional liaisons up to the front then, please?
You can talk amongst yourselves for a few minutes. Yeah.